extra discipline for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord this morning for His goodness to us. Are you hungry? God bless you all. I was thinking about it this morning. What a blessing to be in a church where there's a bunch of fanatics that do weird things like this. I just love it. I love it. I'm so glad my family is in this fellowship, brothers and sisters. I'm glad. It's been a real blessed weekend, but I want to remind you that the blessings of fasting and prayer, they come later. Now you get some while you're fasting and praying, but the answers come down the line. And don't be surprised if they don't come the way that you might think they would come. Don't be surprised. God works differently than we do. God works in mysterious ways, and we don't always understand what He's doing, and we don't need to understand. We just need to trust Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, for he trusteth in Thee. Amen. Appreciated the family verses and songs. There's something sweetly sanctifying about little children's voices, isn't there? It just has a sweet sanctifying effect upon us. May God make us like those little children. Pure, clean, innocent. Well, I appreciated the opening. Thank you, Brother Ron. I couldn't have done better if I would have called you up and said, okay, Brother Ron, speak about this. So, for weeks, it has been on my heart to preach on healing this morning. But I'm not going to, so relax. But it's been on my heart, and I want to take up the subject of healing in the Bible. But as I was going over it, started putting my thoughts together, I realized that this subject should be discussed in a meeting with a brotherhood, not just thrown out on a Sunday morning from the pulpit. Because there's a lot of different ideas about healing, and some people are even afraid of healing because of some of the extremes and the abuses and all of that. And so I just felt it's not time to share that. So something more in tune with our burden for our homes during this time of prayer and fasting, I felt like God would have me share on a subject that everyone knows in their head, but it seems that few people know in their heart, deeply in their heart. And that is the subject of the Father's love. The Father's love. Right? We all know that one in our head. Amen? We can all quote the verse by memory. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Yes. The Father loves me. But I have been shocked
in many counseling sessions how many Christians stumble around at a simple prayer about the Father's love. I've been shocked many times. In counseling, I've tried to lead a person in a simple prayer about the Father's love. Something very simple like this. My dear Heavenly Father, I know You love me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But I've been shocked how many people stumble at that little prayer. I've been shocked how many people can't even say it. Now, if you approach them casually and you ask them, do you believe the Father loves you? They'll say, yes, yes, I know the Father loves me. But I'm talking about in the scene and the setting where we're down on our knees, we're in the presence of the Father, and it's time to speak, to confess out of our mouth that which we believe in our heart, and they can't do it. Some of them absolutely can't. Some of them stumble and stutter until their heart catches up with their theology and they realize, oh, yes, I do believe this. Yes, Father. And then they can say it. My dear Heavenly Father, I know that You love me. They cannot confess it with their mouth because they do not believe it in their heart. Even though they do know it in their head, they do not believe it in their heart, and they do not live in the reality of the Father's love. And therefore, when they are put to the test in a counseling situation where you get down on your knees, they stutter and they stumble, and some of them can't say it. I've had some turn to me and say, I can't say that, Brother Denny. I can't say it. And we're talking about Christians. We're not talking about lost people. We're talking about Christians. Brother Denny, I can't say those words. The dear Apostle John, he says it to us this way in 1 John chapter 3. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons and daughters of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And I might add here that this hope is not just the hope that we're going to see Him again someday, but this hope within him, I am a son of the living God. I am the son of my Heavenly Father. I am the daughter of my Heavenly Father. And someday I'm going to see Him. And this hope purifies me. This hope motivates me. This hope caused me to draw near. This hope causeth me to keep my heart clean. I am a son a daughter of my Heavenly Father. We are children with a Heavenly Father this morning, brothers and sisters. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 5:1. He said, we are dear children. Dear children. Hallelujah. Oh, that's precious. That God would look down upon me and say, Denny, you are my dear son. And I love you. Beloved, this stumbling that I have discovered is no little thing. It's not a little thing. To stumble at this is not a little thing. It's not a sideline theology that sits over here that doesn't have much effect upon our everyday life. The fact that we somehow can't receive the Father's love. This is not a little thing. It has far-reaching effects, sometimes devastating effects unto generations and generations, brothers and sisters. Some Christians do not prosper in their walk with God because they do not believe from their heart the overflowing loving kindness of their Heavenly Father. Did you know this morning, brothers and sisters, that your Heavenly Father has an overflowing love for you? Did you know that? Well, I'm here to tell you today that He does. He loves you. You are very precious to Him. But many people, their walk with God does not prosper because they do not understand that, or they have not received it, or their theology somehow is twisted and they do not understand it. And because they do not understand it, it's very hard for them to draw nigh to God. It's very hard for them. They can't hardly imagine that they could come with boldness and confidence before the throne of God and talk to Him. And so they just don't. Isn't that right? We just don't do it. But if we knew how much our Father loved us, if we knew how much His heart is toward us, if He knew how much He wants to pour His grace out upon us, we would come to our Papa. We would come boldly to our Papa. Just like our children come boldly to us when they need something, we would come boldly to our Father in heaven to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Some fathers struggle in their role as a loving father of their children. They struggle, not a little, a lot. A lot. Building relationships with the children goes hard for them. Many times us ministers, we sit in our ministers' meetings and brood over the congregation and the needs and the families. And many times we say these words, and you brothers, you know it's true. You know it. Oh, the Father just doesn't, somehow He just doesn't connect with the children to build a relationship. The fathers struggle in their role as loving fathers of their children because they have never been able to come as a little boy looking up into the shining, smiling face of their Heavenly Father's love. And because they're not secure in their Father's love, they don't know how to do it in their relationship of love. Husbands fail at affirming and nurturing their beloved wife of their youth. They fail at it. They have not come to rest in their Heavenly Father's love. And because of that, it goes hard for them to affirm, to nurture, to build, and encourage their wives. We know it's so, don't we? Isn't that down home, brothers? Is that down home or not? That's down home. Wives struggle for years to give and receive love in their marriage for the same reason. Same reason. Mothers give a sense of attitudes of rejection. They give and sense attitudes of rejection from their children, and they can't figure this thing out, and they want to be close, and but they're not, and they try to do better and get their programs, you know, I'm going to talk more, I'm going to do better, I'm going to this, I'm going to that. And in reality, they are not affirmed in their Father's love. And because of that, it just doesn't flow. It doesn't go. Some of us in this room hate ourselves. We reject who we are. We can't build relationships with other people because of how we feel about ourselves. We think we're no good. We think we're bad. We look in the mirror, we don't like what we see. We don't like to look in the mirror. We reject ourselves. We hate ourselves. And because we feel that way about ourselves, we feel like that's how everybody else feels about us too. Right? And so that sends forth a silent message to everybody else around me. You know what the silent message is? Stay away from me. Even though deep down inside your heart is saying, I need somebody to love. Some of us live in fear. Fear of others. Fear of love. Fear of getting close to someone. Fear of what man thinks. Fear of God's stick. We live in fear all the time. Because we have not received the Father's love. John said it this way. In 1 John chapter 4. By the way, the Apostle John is called the Apostle of Love. It's good. He said it this way, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, brothers and sisters. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. Amen? Fear hath torment. Living a life of fear is living a life of torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He that feareth has not received the love of the Father. He that feareth has not been affirmed in the security of the love of their Heavenly Father. Many of us live in fear. And brothers and sisters, fear is devastating. I mean, fear and faith, those two will not dwell together. They will not. They are absolute opposites. But both demand to be fulfilled. Both of them. Fear demands to be fulfilled. And if we live in fear, it will be fulfilled. And faith also demands to be fulfilled. And if we live in faith, faith will be fulfilled. Do you know how many stories there are, brothers and sisters, of a husband or a wife who lived in continual fear that their mate was going to leave them, and they did? That's a subject all on its own. The dynamics of how that happens, it's not a mysterious thing. It's reality. It happens. The children that live with us have a hard time. Confusion, insecurity, loneliness, doubts. These kind of things go through their minds. I don't know if my father loves me. I think my mom hates me. Oh, we shudder at those thoughts that our children would be having thoughts like that, but they have them. They do have them. They wonder what's going on. You know, little boy grows up with his papa. He wants to be close to his papa. He wants to be with his papa. He wants to talk to his papa. But his papa doesn't know how to love. He doesn't know how to build a relationship. He's uncomfortable with the whole relationship. And so there's these attitudes, that these silent attitudes that come to this little fella in the home. And the attitudes say, it's confusing to a child. How many of you adults sitting in this room this morning, you reflect on it a bit. Go back one generation. Go back. Do you remember a time when your father looked you in the eye in sincerity and said, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. How many of you never heard those words when you were growing up? Let me see your hands. Put them up. Keep them up a minute. Hands and arms in the air. Everyone, just look around for a minute. Just look around you. Thank you. You can put them down. I didn't count them. I'm not sure. I don't think it was everyone. But I think it was almost everyone. Let me give you some statistics. Between 80 and 90% of the adults in America have never heard those words come out of the mouth and the heart of their fathers. Between 80 and 90% of the American people have never heard those words come out of the mouth of their father. And it's interesting to get the show of hands in this room. I know that we come from many varied backgrounds, but I know that there are many, many in this room that have some kind of, somewhat of a Christian background, and still it's not there. Dear fathers, we stand in the stead of God to our children, don't we? And our fathers stood in the stead of God to us. Is there any connection at all to the fact that we didn't ever hear those words? To the fact that we are not assured of the Father's love as we sit here this morning, many of us? I believe there is. I believe there is. It doesn't have to be that way. God doesn't want it to be that way. God can change it. God will change it. But I think we need to come to grips with the fact that it's that way. In many, many of our hearts. And who knows how many generations we can go back and say, it was not there, and it was not there, and it was not there. I know that I can do that in my own. I can do that in my life. I never heard my father tell me, I love you. Until I went into the army, then it seemed like it was the right thing to say. Just as he was saying goodbye, and I went into the door of the induction center there in Omaha, Nebraska. It was time, and my father said, I love you, son. That was it. But you know, sometime in my Christian life, it dawned on me, my dad didn't know how to do this. But I'm going to change that. I'll never forget the first time I looked my father in the eye, deeply in his eyes, and I said, I love you, Dad. You are a dear father to me. I put my hands on his shoulders. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to act because he'd never done it before. I mean, his head went down just like that, you know, and backed away. That's kind of how we are too, isn't it? We don't know how to act. But you know, it's not that way today. Now, he says it to me. Hallelujah. Just before I leave him, any time, whether it's on the phone or whether it's face to face, he looks me in the eye and he says, I love you, son. I say, I love you too, Dad. You're a dear father to me. But it wasn't that way. It wasn't that way. And I didn't know how to do it. I'm telling you, I didn't know how to do it. But I thank God for my wife. She knew how to do it. She taught me. She taught me. And our children are blessed for it. Because she taught me. 80% of the adults in America have never heard those words one time. Brothers and sisters, it is not God's will that another generation grows up in confusion, insecurity, and doubt because of this. It is not God's will. It is the will of God that that chain, that generational chain, that, may I say it, that generational curse be broken in our homes. It is the will of God. If you haven't broken it yet, it is the will of God that it be broken. That the generations that go forth from here will have a different testimony. And a total different view on life and God and everything. And I'm telling you, brothers, we will affect their view on life and God. And we can affect it to the positive. That they grow up under those shining blessings. That silent, continuous affirmation. My Papa loves me. My Papa loves me. And He's pleased with me. That is the will of God. How many more generations are we going to let this unloving spirit devastate us and our families? I've seen grown men weep for 15 minutes uncontrollably when they come to face this very fact right here. I've seen them weep for 15 minutes. The devil has been lying to us. He has sent us a lying spirit, a deceiving spirit. And it has deceived us, and we've been living in a substandard place. we have not been enjoying the blessings of our Father because we are not assured of His love. And we all know, brothers and sisters, these things operate in the realm of faith, don't they? They operate in the realm of faith. We must believe in our Father's love. We must believe in it. I'm here this morning to tell you, beloved, that there's something drastically wrong with our heart theology when we stumble at the Father's love and we can't hardly get those words out of our mouth. Heavenly Father, I know that You love me. There's something drastically wrong with our heart theology. You are beloved sons and daughters today, brothers and sisters. The Father smiles at you today. Whether you are understanding it or not, I'm telling you, He smiles at you today. You are precious in His sight. You are the apple of His eye. Now, I know there may be some rebel in here with a hard heart who's spitting fire in God's face, and I'm not talking to you, but most of you, I am talking to you. You are beloved in the sight of your Heavenly Father today, brothers and sisters. You are accepted in the Beloved. You can join in with the prophet Daniel, who rejoiced when the angel sent word from the throne of heaven to him. O Daniel, thou art greatly beloved in the sight of the Father. Dear brothers and sisters, the message comes down to us from the throne of grace today. You are greatly beloved in the sight of the Father. That's God's message to us. The Father smiles at you today. Come to Him. Come to Him. Receive your forgiveness. Rest in the blessing of your Heavenly Father today. Jesus prayed it this way in His high priestly prayer over in John 17. Let's look there. We're just going to look at a few verses. We could do this for a week, by the way. We're just going to look at a few verses here to show you how foundational this is. And I think that we already know that in our heads. We know this is foundational theology. Jesus in His high priestly prayer is praying in chapter 17. And we'll start reading in verse 20. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one. As Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them." Oh, that's beautiful. "And that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me." Look at that. God the Father loves us as He loved His Son. He loves us as He loved His Son. Wow, beautiful. I mean, how much more affirmation do you need than that? Because we sit here today and we are in Christ Jesus, He looks down upon us with hearts of love. He loves us tenderly, dearly. We are precious in His sight. Hear the word of the Lord this morning in Ephesians chapter 1. Hear what God says through Paul to the church at Ephesus. Beautiful words. Ephesians 1 verse 3 through 5. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who that's the God and Father, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Beautiful. The Father. Brother, sister, the Father. Hey, I can't figure it all out. But the Father chose you before the foundation of the world. He chose you. That you might stand before Him blameless and holy in love. That His love might be poured out upon you abundantly in Christ Jesus. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. I mean, we've been adopted, amen? I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. Who needs a mansion? Who needs this? Who needs that? I'm a child of the King. I've been adopted into the family. The family of the Father in heaven. I've been adopted into that family, and so have you. But we don't believe it in our hearts. Even some of you, I know here, I know even this morning here, you're acknowledging it here this morning. But inside your heart, you do not believe it. You do not believe it. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Praise the Lord. Let's read in Zechariah chapter 3. There's some beautiful verses over there. Did you know that God sings over you? Did you ever know that? Zechariah? God sings over you. That's almost at the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 3. How many of you knew that God sings over you? Let me see your hands. He does. He sings songs of joy over you. That's a beautiful picture. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 14. I think it's Zephaniah. Let's see here. It's Zephaniah. Zephaniah, sorry. I wrote it down, Zechariah. Verse 14 of chapter 3. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. Hallelujah. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thine hands be slack or faint. Don't let your heavy hands hang down any more. Why? Because the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love over thee. He will joy over thee with singing. Beautiful pictures of the Father's love over us, even this morning, brothers and sisters. He sings over us. Some of you, you look at your families this morning and maybe you just feel like it's just devastation everywhere. Listen, if you're here this morning with a sincere heart, God is singing over your family. He's singing over it. He wants to bless it. He wants to restore it. He wants to heal it. Make it whole. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49 and verse 13. Isaiah 49 verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and breathe forth into singing, O mountains. Why? For the Lord hath comforted His people and will have mercy upon His afflicted. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And God says back to Zion, can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste, thy destroyers, and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doth bind a beautiful garment upon her. My paraphrase in there at the end of the verse. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. What a beautiful place for our lives to be. God has graven us, the remembrance of us, the purpose of us, the plans for us, upon the palms of His hands. God loves us today. The devil has lied to us. He's lied to us. Let's read in Romans yet, Romans chapter 5. I was so glad Brother Ron mentioned a compassionate plea this morning for salvation. Because God loves you this morning. You're here. You're struggling. You're wrestling. I'm telling you, God loves you this morning. He's reaching out to you. By His Spirit, He's reaching out to you. He loved you so much, He sent His Son to die for you. He loves you this morning. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5 begins with, and hope. And that word hope is a lively hope. Like what Peter talks about. And a lively hope maketh not ashamed. Amen? A lively hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, the Father, commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, brothers and sisters in Christ, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. How much more? I mean, if God loved us while we were yet sinners enough to send His Son to die for us, now that we are in the faith, now that we've received the atonement, now that we've been washed in the blood, now that we've been born again, how much more does God love us? Hallelujah! He loves us. You are the apple of His eye today. Blessed in the sight of your Father are you, brothers and sisters. Verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Beautiful. God loves us today. Not only is He our Father, but our Father is the God of heaven. Hallelujah. Our Father is the God of heaven. He can take care of us. He can take care of our needs. He is a mighty God. There's nothing too hard for Him. He who controls the whole universe, keeps everything moving and in its place and functioning right. That God is our Father. He is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we would even ask or think. That is our Father. He can do it. Oh, we need to rest in the Father's love. We need to rest in our Father's care. We need to rest in the reality and the fact of who He is. He's the God of heaven. There is no other God beside Him. There is no problem that He cannot deal with. There is no mountain that He cannot go over and move out of the way. There is no river that He cannot cross. Nothing. Nothing is too hard for God. He's the God of the universe. But brothers and sisters, the element of faith is always there. We are Christians. The just shall live by faith. And this morning we need to allow our hearts to rise up and believe. The record that God gave of His Son. We need to allow our hearts to rise up and believe that the Father loves me. He loves me. Even me. Some of you have had some ugly childhood experiences. I know that. Real ugly ones. And they have devastated you for 10, 20, maybe 30 years. You feel like you're still walking with crutches from some of the things that you went through when you were growing up. It is not God's will that you walk with crutches anymore. The Deliverer has come to Zion. It is not His will for you to walk with crutches anymore. But I know some of you have had some pretty ugly childhood experiences. I know that. I know they're painful. I know they hurt you to think about them. But let's not be debilitated by those. Those things are in the past. God wants to deal with them and bury them and leave them in the past. Amen. He wants you to go forward from here. Time to do something about that abuse, that rejection, that angry hatred. I mean, maybe you grew up hearing this kind of theology all your days as a little boy or a little girl. You good for nothing. You ain't worth. You'll never amount to anything. I can't stand you. I wish you were never born. Maybe you heard words like that. Listen, shake the curse of those words off of your life today. You don't need to live under those words anymore. The Deliverer has come out of Zion, and you don't need to live underneath those words anymore. But brothers and sisters, there are people in this room that are still living underneath that curse. They're still living underneath it. They run and hide. They're afraid of people. Because in their own theology, about their own selves, they think, I'm no good. I'll never amount to anything. I'm just a nothing. And then what good am I? And I'm telling you, that's devastating to your life, and you know it is. It's binding you all up. You can't move. You're not free. You can't receive the grace of God on a continual basis. How could you receive the grace of God if all the time you're thinking, I'm no good. I'm just this and odd. They're never going to amount to anything. That is not how the Father feels about you. Your theology is making a controversy with your Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters. That is not how God feels about you. My dear sister, you are beloved in the sight of the Father this morning. That is not how God feels about you. You need to shake those words off and leave them behind. It's time to do something about it. So what do? Amen. I thought you'd never get to that point. What do? Well, I'm glad there's something that we can do. It'd be pretty miserable to sit through all of this that we've already heard. I mean, we could all go home dragging our chins. But I'm telling you, the Deliverer has come out of Zion and you don't have to live that way anymore, brother, father. God wants to liberate you, father, so that you don't have all that baggage in there anymore and you can be released to love your boys and your girls. Sisters, the same for you. You don't have to carry that baggage around with you anymore. So what do? Well, psychology would say, aha, I'm glad to hear that, Brother Denny. Now I know why I'm such a mess. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. So, I'm just going to settle down in that, and every time failures are in my life, trouble comes my way, I'll just point back to my mom or my dad or my uncle or my cousin or whoever. I'll just point back to them and say, yep, they messed me up and that's why I'm messed up. That's what psychology would say. That's what Sigmund Freud would say. But that's not what God says. That's not what God says. God says other than that. God says the Deliverer has come out of Zion with healing in His wings. Hallelujah. And whatever that is, God wants to heal it. Whatever it is, God wants to deal with it. If you let God deal with it, God can change you even today, sister, brother. God can change you. You won't have to go to a psychiatrist for the next 20 years to get it all worked out. You can be delivered today. Hallelujah. And save all the money, bless God. Give it to missions. Amen. Save all the money. Don't go to the psychiatrist. Then give the money to missions. Praise the Lord. Sorry about that, Emmanuel. It's time. No. We can't just say it's their fault and leave it at that. We are responsible. We are responsible. Whatever happened back there, we've joined our hearts to it. We've walked in it. We've allowed it to affect us. It has caused things in our life. We're passing it on to the next generation. We are responsible. We need to take responsibility. If you're going to get deliverance, we must take responsibility. But that's not a despairing thing when you know deliverance is right around the corner, amen? Hey, no big deal. No big deal. God's going to deliver me, so I'm going to take responsibility. Where I am, what my attitudes are, and what my theology is, I'm going to take responsibility. So God would say, just deal with it and go on. All right, so how do we deal with it? Number one, let me just go through these quickly. But you consider. And don't worry about writing it down, okay? We're going to get on our knees and do it. So you don't need to write it down so you can take it home and just relax and listen. We're just going to get on our knees and do it. First of all, we need to acknowledge it. I fit into these categories that I've been listening to today. That is me, Lord. That is where I am. I do struggle receiving the Father's love. For whatever the reasons are, whether it is a father, whether it was an unkind mother, whether it was an abuse, whether it was some devastating words that you grew up with,
the first step to deliverance is just to face the fact, that's me. That's who I am. That's the first. Number two, repent. Repent. Take my responsibility for it. Repent. It is sin that I have reacted the way that I have reacted to the things that came my way, to the neglect that I received. It is sin that I have reacted the way that I have. It is sin that I do not believe from my heart in the Father's love for me. It is sin. Repent. Just acknowledge it. Turn away from it. I renounce those. I'm not that way anymore. That's not what I want. Just repent and be cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Number three. Forgive. Forgive. Many times, there are people who have offended us. Many times, there are real issues back there, brought upon us by real people. And those things loom over us. We must forgive. We must release them. We must let the bird out of the cage. We can no longer hold them in that cage and think, how could you do that to me? How could you treat me like that? How could you spank me the way you spanked me? How could you say those words like that to me? You can't hold them in the cage any longer. You can't hold them in there and tell them how you feel about it over and over and over again. You must release them and forgive. We cannot receive the Father's love if we are still carrying this baggage around with us. It's impossible. If we do not forgive, we cannot be forgiven. And if we are not forgiven, we will never taste of the Father's love. So we need to forgive. And may I encourage you, that's not something that you wait until you have all the right feelings for. You know, sometimes people will do that. Well, I know I'm supposed to forgive and, you know, someday I will and I'm just waiting for it, you know. Sometime the feelings of forgiveness will come in my heart and I'll forgive them. No, 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 no. Forgiveness is a choice. It's a choice. I choose to forgive. I choose to let my offender out of their cage. I choose this morning to let the bird out of the cage. No longer to hold him in there or her in there and think about all the ways they messed me up. No more. Forgive. And some of you may be in this room today and you're sick because you haven't really dealt with these things. You know, sometimes people get sick because of it. Did you know that? A bitter spirit does dry up the bones. It does. I met someone not long ago. 40 years old on a cane. 40 years old. Walking like an 80-year-old on a cane. What's wrong? Osteoporosis. At 40? Yeah, I don't know what's wrong, but I can't. I gotta have a cane. My bones are so weak. At 40 years old. Dig a little bit into the heart. Ask about the past. And find out there's a deep, bitterness in there toward a mother. And it's been in there for 20 years. Yeah, a bitter spirit. It dries up the bones, brothers and sisters. It dries up the bones. We must forgive. Number four, we must recognize that there are lying, unloving spirits involved in this whole thing. There are lying, unloving spirits that are tracking you. And I'll tell you what their goal is. I guarantee you I know what their goal is. They would like to devastate you to such a place that you feel so low and so bad about who you are. They would like to get their hands on your hands and get your hands to get a hold of a rope and put that rope around your neck. That's where they're going. And they'll take 30 or 40 years if they have to get it. But I'm telling you, we need to recognize there are lying, unloving spirits that are tracking us, whispering in our ear, reminding us again and again and again, you're no good. You never were. You know what your mom said about you? That's the way you are. You're no good. Your father didn't love you because you're unloving. That's what's wrong with you. And oh, spirits whisper in the ears even of God's people, and they do it all the time. But the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do you think when God said that word, God meant that the devil is the only one that's going to tempt us? How many think that's what the verse means? No, we know. The devil has sent out his lying, unloving spirits. All those other fallen angels that are at his beck and call. He has sent them out, those spirits. You can't see them. But I tell you, they're there. And they're lying. We need to recognize that they're there. And rebuke those spirits out of our lives. We need to do that. Number five, we need to receive the Father's love. We need to receive the Father's love. What do I mean by that? While you're on your knees, just simply, from your heart, verbally, receive, confess the belief in your heart of the Father's love. Very simple. That's what I was after, by the way, when I was trying to get that person to pray. I was trying to get him to confess that God loves them. So you need to receive the Father's love by verbally acknowledging it before Him on your knees. Father, I know You love me. And I thank You for that love. Number six. You need to pursue a deep renewing of your heart theology. It's not enough to hear a sermon here today. God doesn't have a quick fix for you and everything's going to be all better. No, you need to pursue diligently a renewing of your heart theology. A renewing of your heart theology. You know what I mean by that? That means you come to the Word and you say, okay, it's Monday morning. And my theology is messed up about how God, the Father, loves me. So I'm going to renew my heart theology this morning. And you start reading in the Word. And you come to a verse and you read that verse. You say, yes, Father, I see that verse. I acknowledge that, Lord. Yes, that's me. I am accepted in the Beloved. Yes, I am your dear son. Yes, Father, you sing over me. Thank you, Father, that you are singing over me this morning. Oh, God, I rest in that love that you have for me this morning. That's called renewing our heart theology. That's an exercise of renewing our mind and our heart through the Word of God. To change how we believe. And some of us need to do that. And seriously, religious theology has a real hard time receiving the Father's love. Real hard time. Because religious theology, I mean, it just works all the way. It's performance. You better do this. You better line up. You better do this. You haven't done this. What's wrong with you? Why haven't you changed that? This isn't right. Don't you know how God feels about that? All that religious theology. How in the world could you ever just look up into the face of your Father in heaven who loves you and say, Father, I know you love me. No, you don't. Your theology tells you, you have to do this yet, and you have to straighten this out yet, and you better get this in order, and you better straighten this out, and what about that which you did last week, and don't you remember what you did? That theology stops you from looking up in confidence to the Father and say, Father, I know you love me. And I thank you, Father, that you do love me. That religious theology blocks the way. And we need to change our theology. Dear brothers and sisters, let's get the theology of grace in the New Testament, the theology of the New Covenant. Amen? I mean, come on! We need to pursue that. Wrong theology makes wrong thinking. Wrong thinking brings wrong actions and words. And we need to go back and change our theology, which will change our thinking, which will also change our actions and our words. I'm telling you, you got some exercise ahead of you. If you really want to walk out of this thing, but you can walk out of it. And that's the last point. Don't go there again. See? We're back to responsibility and accountability. Don't go there again then. Don't go there. You find yourself, you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror and you think, oh man, oh, I can't stand that person in the mirror. You need to repent. You need to repent. That person in the mirror was made by Almighty God with a plan and a purpose. Fearfully, wonderfully, carefully, meticulously, lovingly, purposefully. You need to repent if you get up and look in the mirror and say, oh, no. I can't stand that person in the mirror. Emmanuel laughs, but I tell you, there's some people in this room that can't stand to look yourself in the mirror. It's true. So when you get up in that morning after you've repented and dealt with this, and you look in the mirror and all those things go through your mind, you need to stop and you need to repent. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm one of God's dear children. I am not going to think that way about myself. I repent, Lord. Wash me. I renounce those thoughts. I'm not going there. God loves me today. I'm not going there. Amen? I'm not going there. So, we have to walk it out. Amen? We have to walk it out. Hear the word of the Lord this morning, brothers and sisters. You are dear children. You are dear children. Your Father in heaven smiles upon you. He loves you. You are written on the palms of His hand. You are very special to Him. He has a special plan for your life. If you were to count the number of the thoughts that He has toward you, good thoughts, amen, Psalm 139, they are more than you can number. You, yes, Even you are sitting there thinking you're nothing and no good and this and that. And I know we're supposed to deny ourselves, but somehow I don't think we're supposed to hate ourselves. God made us. He made us with a purpose. Yes, deny your flesh, but recognize that you are made in the image of your Heavenly Father. And He made you for a purpose, and you need to change how you think about you. You are dearly beloved sons and daughters this morning. Dearly beloved sons and daughters. Let's fall upon our knees. Can we do that? This is a corporate prayer meeting. If you're on your knees right now and your heart revels in the love of your Heavenly Father, then you pray, pray, pray for your brothers and sisters who are wrestling right now. But if you're on your knees right now and you know, that's me, Brother Denny. You just slip up your hand. Let me see your hands. That's me, Brother Denny. Good. Good. Let's just go through this little exercise on our knees. Let's do that before the Lord. First of all, I want you just to simply talk to God. And acknowledge, I'm one, Lord, I fit into that category. I'm one of those that struggles with receiving your love, and I realize it, God. And just tell the Lord about it. Right this moment on your knees. Just forget about everybody else around you. Just talk to the Lord. Yes, our Father in heaven, we do acknowledge. We fit into that category, Lord. We acknowledge it, Father. And we want to thank you for bringing it so clearly to our attention this morning. And now, number two, while you're on your knees, I want you to repent. Just turn away. Turn away from it. It is sin. You need to be cleansed from it. Just deal with it right now before the Father. Yes, our Father in heaven, we do repent before you this morning. And Father, we receive your forgiveness. We know that's part of your love, that you forgive. Lord, we receive that forgiveness this morning. Because of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we receive forgiveness, Lord, for our sins. And we thank you for cleansing us from these things. Now, number three, I want you to forgive those, anyone comes to your mind. And on this one, some of you children, you may be sitting here. You may not even be a Christian yet. But if you're wrestling in your heart over some of the things that have been said, just forgive right this moment. Forgive your father. Forgive your mother. And let us all forgive those. Anybody that we're wrestling with. Anybody that we have held in a cage. We must choose to forgive them today. And release them out of that cage. Father, I do forgive my father. And I forgive my mother. I forgive, Father, those who hurt me. I know how could they have done that to me, but I forgive them today, Lord. I choose to forgive them because you forgive me, Lord. So much you've forgiven me. I forgive, Lord. I release them. And Father, I do acknowledge that You're a sovereign God. And for some reason You allowed all this to come into my life. I acknowledge, dear God, You are sovereign. And I choose to trust You today. You ordered my past. You are a loving Father. I trust You. Number four, we need to recognize there are evil spirits. Not everybody in this room, but for some in this room, I'm telling you there are evil spirits tracking you and you know it. Rebuke them in Jesus' name. You tell them to get out of your life in Jesus' name. You don't have any authority, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every devil has to flee. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You do it. You need to get used to doing it. Command them to get out of your life now. You unloving spirits, you lying spirits, we see you this morning. We see you. And we rebuke you in Jesus' name. You have no more room in the hearts of these people. We command you in Jesus' name to get out of their lives now. Number five, receive the Father's love by verbally speaking forth from your heart the truths that you've heard here this morning. From your heart, receive those words for your heart and your life. Just keep praying those words. Father in heaven, I know You love me. I thank You, Father, that You love me this morning. I'm one of Your dear sons, Lord, and I thank You for that. I praise You, O God. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for sending Your Son to die for me. Thank You for overflowing with Your kindness upon my life, O God. I do receive Your love this morning, Father. I thank You for it. By grace through faith, I receive that love, O God. And I praise You, Lord, that I'm one of Your dear sons, one of Your dear daughters today. Oh, Father, I praise You for that. God, I want to walk in Your love. I want to live under the shining face of Your love, oh God. I pray, Father, release Your love, Your blessing upon me, upon my marriage, upon my household, oh God. I pray, come by Your love and Your grace and work in my home and heal my home and drive out, Lord God, all those things that offend and hurt, Lord. Deliver me from all the enemies in my home, God. Pour in the oil and the wine, Lord. Give me wisdom, dear Father, God, to minister to my family, to my wife, to my husband, to my children concerning these things, O God. We trust You for that and we thank You. And lastly, the Bible teaches that it is the promise of the Father. Whose Father is your Father? It is the promise of your loving Heavenly Father to give the Holy Spirit to them that ask in faith, believing. This morning, you can ask God to give you His Holy Spirit. It is received by faith. It's already given. It's already been sent. It's already flowing. We just need to simply receive it and believe it and ask for it and thank God for it. And I want you to do that yet before we're done. Receive just receive. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the promise that you gave to us. The promise of the Father. The gift of the Father. The gift of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, this morning as we're here on our knees, we ask you to fill us with your Spirit, Lord. God, we as a church, we don't want to go back again, Father. We don't want to go back, Lord. Oh, give us your Spirit, Lord God. Pour out your Spirit upon us as brothers and sisters. Lord, we receive your gift this morning, God. You promised you would give, and Lord, we believe and we receive by faith this morning, O God, the anointing of your Spirit upon us as individuals and the anointing of your Spirit upon us as a church, Lord. O God, if we would fast and pray anything unto thee, O God, we would fast and pray that your anointing would rest upon us and grow and increase more and more, O God. Take us out into the river, dear God. As a congregation, Lord, let us get out there in that river. Get our feet and our ankles and our legs wet, dear God. Father, we trust you for this. We know it's your promise. We receive that promise. We believe it this morning, God. We wait for it, dear Lord, to increase more and more. And we thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, you can get up.
Thank God. Thank God for His Word to us this morning and ministering to our hearts. So I don't forget. That's where I write things so I don't forget. I'm graven on His paw, lest He forget me. Hallelujah. Lest I forget, you know. Glory to God. Any time of day. Yep, there it is. He remembers. Hallelujah. I was intrigued as the Lord led the men's prayer meeting on Thursday. Friday, I think it was. In the specific area of our fathers. And there was quite a number of us there who acknowledged that we know that our fathers are not saved.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.